Hey there, Bet Blast podcast listeners. We come to you today with some exciting news. Nominations for DVM360's 4th Annual Veterinary Heroes Awards have been extended until May 31st. This means that you have almost 6 more weeks to nominate your veterinary superhero. Remember, we are honoring one person from 11 different categories. Keep in mind that these are peer-to-peer nominations, so you are encouraged to nominate any veterinary professional, no matter what you specialize in. So don't forget to nominate your veterinary superhero by May 31st. Check out DVM360 to learn more, and the link to nominate will be in today's show notes. Enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM360.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. I have the honor and privilege to meet the Dean of Rowan University's School of Veterinary Medicine. We're going to talk more about the Schreiber School of Veterinary Medicine with the one and only good friend of mine, Dr. Matt Edson. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, Dr. Christman. How are you today?
Well, aside of all the laughing we had to do before we recorded this, because
to our listeners,
I know, I love chat. I mean, listen, we have great people in the industry, but you know, when it's a really good friend of yours, you get to interview, it's actually extra fun. And are you ready for your Barbara Walters interview?
Oh, I'm not sure I'm ready for this, Adam. We're going to make it work.
Right. Well, to our listeners tuning in, a little information about our wonderful colleague here, Dr. Edson. He's named the founding dean of the Schreiber School of Veterinary Medicine of Rowan University, located here in New Jersey. And he is the founder and owner of Rancoca's Veterinary Associates, a multi-doctor, multi-location mixed animal practice based in South Jersey. And Edson leads a group of veterinary professionals that treat a wide range of species. He's has special professional interests in miniature pig and small ruminant medicine and surgery. And he's lectured nationally on those subjects. And he's an advocate for the advancement of affordable, clinically relevant veterinary education, which we're really going to get into, and I just love hearing that. He's a native of East Hantam Township. Dr. Edson is a former executive board member and the immediate past president of the New Jersey Veterinary Medical Association and a former site visitor for the American Veterinary Medical Association Council on Education, former chair of the AVMA Committee on Disaster and Emergency Issues, and former vice chair of the AVMA Practice Advisory Pilot Panel. He's also served as a manuscript reviewer for the Journal of Exotic Pet Medicine, and he's earned his veterinary medical degree from Kansas State University, and he earned his bachelor's degree in animal science and biology from Rutgers. Ayo, that's where I went to, Matt. Can you imagine if we were in the same classes together, by the way?
I don't think Rutgers could have handled that.
No. Yeah, I don't think we'd have gotten into vet school. He completed his training as a mobile intensive care paramedic through Virtua Health, and he's a licensed veterinarian in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and a member of the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons. He has a strong interest in veterinary business and practice management. And get this, he's also a certified veterinary practice manager, CVPM, and named a top veterinarian by South Jersey Magazine in 2017. Edson was voted best veterinarian in Burlington County by, Burlington County Times readers multiple years, and Dr. Edson was named to the 22 and 2023 and 2024 New Jersey Business Healthcare Power 50 list, which ranks the top influencers in healthcare in New Jersey. So congratulations on all those accolades.
Thanks for the very detailed bio there, Adam. That was pretty much everything I've done in my entire life.
I know, but I say this to the guests on the show. It's worth mentioning because we do great work, and I know we're such a humble profession, and I love to share all the great successes with our listeners. So congratulations on all the great work you do. Yeah. And continue to do, because finally, listeners, if I could shout it from the rooftops, I'm screaming with joy that New Jersey is getting a veterinary school. So tell the listeners about it.
Well, I think you know the importance of this. As another Jersey guy, Rutgers grad, we both had to apply out of state and pay out of state tuition to go to vet school. And that's not an easy thing to overcome, right? There's a lot of uprooting yourself. There's a lot of cost involved in that. So this is something we've really wanted to fix for New Jersey residents for a very long time. And with a national shortage of veterinarians, and certainly New Jersey is no exception to that rule, bringing this to fruition has been a absolutely wonderfully rewarding process. We've been doing this now since 2018 or 2019, Now we're into 24 already, so it's a very long project, but we are just in the final stages here of our next accreditation visit, which will be in April. That'll allow us to get approval from our accreditors to go and look for applicants for this program. And as part of that, we're building our brand new complex here at Rowan University, a state public institution down in South Jersey in the beautiful town of Glassboro. So it's a very exciting project for us.
Yeah. And to the listeners, it's a beautiful campus, Matt. It really is. It's beautiful. And there aren't, you're literally building buildings to this. These aren't standalones that are pre-existing, right? So this is a lot of work that's going into this.
We are. We have a beautiful soybean field that now has one wall for an anatomy lab and all the site work done. So it's been a very long project to get to that point. But this is a 167,000 square foot complex that we're building. This is going to include a teaching hospital. One of the things that makes us unique is we're a program that's not just distributive. We have some distributive elements we can talk about, but we are building our own teaching hospital here on campus, a whole bunch of educational facilities on the second floor. And then we have a School of Translational Biomedical Engineering and Sciences that'll be co-located with us in a research tower for a ton of collaborative research opportunities between DVM students, medical students, PhDs, engineers, so we can create the whole next generation of investigators in our industry as well.
I mean, that's like a One Health to the next level kind of approach is what you're doing there. That's amazing.
Yeah, we're really lucky to have great buy-in from the medical school deans too. And we're unique here in that we'll be the second institution in the country that has DVM, MD, and DO programs. So we have the buy-in from those medical schools to have medical students and vet students get together in the midst of their training, do community outreach. They might do a flu clinic. We might do a rabies clinic alongside them. So we're really working on some pretty cool initiatives to join all those professions together.
That's great. Okay, so tell us a little bit about the education process. What does that look like? Is it, you know, like the typical ones that are out there in the country, or is it a little different? What does that look like?
We're a little bit different. I mean, we talked a bit before this about our general practice history, right? And I think for me, it's very important that our students come into this program, immediately have hands-on experience, and when they leave here, feel like they got what they paid for and that they can go into general practice at an entry level or pursue a specialization at an entry level and be a very competent veterinarian who's prepared to do that. So we're big on starting with clinical skills, hands-on learning. We're also big on a bit of a different curricular approach in that we're integrated. So when we went to vet school, things were, here's your anatomy class, anatomy one, anatomy two, physiology one, virology. We do a systems-based integrated curriculum here where we approach things for maybe the musculoskeletal system to start. And we talk about all of the anatomy and physiology and bacteriology and microbiology and whatever else is related to that specific system. Because that's really how we think as clinicians, right? We think about the systems we're dealing with and the things that go along with those systems. And I think it's important in the learning process to align that for students instead of talking about the virology of one system and the physiology of another. We're doing this as a team approach across all of our specialties to deliver knowledge and help them think like a clinician from the beginning.
Yeah, you really want to empower them right when they come out so they can feel like, yeah, I could do this. I can go into practice and take on cases and start seeing things. So I think that's wonderful. You have the teaching hospital there. So what does that look like in their fourth year then? Is it rotating in the teaching hospital and then external internships or rotations? What does that look like?
We have about a 50,000 square foot teaching hospital here that's really dedicated to small animal cases. We also have a community outreach and shelter medicine service that goes around to individual county and municipal shelters, as well as does some outreach events in underserved communities. So they're doing surgery out in the field at the shelters, as well as in this big surgery bus that we're going to have, hopefully delivered in the next month. We got this big custom bus with three ORs. And then we have a large animal field service that goes out and sees horses and livestock. So really for us, 75% or more of our rotations will be in-house in Rowan facilities or in Rowan practices of some kind. But there's also elements of things that we didn't design into the program. And part of that is thinking about what the needs are of our community down here. We don't really have enough of a draw for a large animal teaching hospital. So we have partnerships established with equine specialty hospitals and large animal specialty practices where we can send the students to get those experiences, versus building a multi-million dollar facility here that would be difficult to justify economically and then cost the students more in tuition. Things like radiation oncology, we won't have in our teaching hospital, but we have partners elsewhere to provide those experiences. We have a little over 60 external partners right now. So we've had a phenomenal, you know, response from the veterinary community all across the country, from here all the way to California. So if we can't offer an experience that a student can get in our own hospital, we can find a partner to make sure that they get that experience outside.
Fantastic. And I understand there's an accelerated DVM MBA in collaboration with Rowan University's Rower College, right? Is that right?
Yeah, Rower College of Business. Yeah. So we have that available not just for DVM students, but also for postgraduate DVM. So anyone who's interested in getting a MBA degree after your DVM program, we have a 36 credit MBA that you can do online, hybrid, or in person. So you can do this from anywhere. And there are basically 18 credits of core courses and 18 credits of electives. You can satisfy 9 elective credits, so 25% of that program, by transferring credits from your DVM program. So it shortens that pathway for a DVM student who wants a dual degree, and it also smooths out the pathway for a postgraduate DVM that's looking for an MBA. It's a really great opportunity for folks with a business interest.
That's great. And tell the listeners about the Paws Farm Educational Center.
Paws Farm is about a 10-acre facility that's located in Mount Laurel in Burlington County. And that existed, man, back in the 70s. I don't know if you've been over there, Adam. Have you ever visited Paws?
Yeah. I haven't. I need to.
So back in the day, they did wildlife rehab, and they had a whole bunch of animals on the farm for educational experiences. It was a nonprofit group that ran it, and they ran it for a very, very long time. Another group came in, weren't as successful. The volunteers came back, and you know, for them, they had done this for 40 years. They were getting ready to kind of pass the torch to somebody else. For us, STEM education and cultivating the next generation of veterinarians and making sure we're reaching underserved populations and introducing this entire, all the joys of our industry to people who are 6 or 8, we have a lot better success in promoting them becoming vets than if we tell someone about what we do when they're 19. So this facility is going to be dedicated to STEM education programming, things like Vet for a Day, vet camps, very educational in nature, but entertaining enough with exposing them to some of the animals we'll have on site and the programming there, that we can really generate some interest from younger generations in our program, and also get our students to interact with those generations, because they have a lot more connection to people who are enrolled in the DVM program than those of us who are getting older and grayer. So I think we're going to be able to capture both audiences there pretty well at the Paws facility.
That's fantastic. And to the listeners, I don't know if you know this, the average age in which someone decides to become a veterinarian is 10 years of age. So it's the youngest, I don't know if you know this, Matt, it's the youngest professional calling of all the professions out there. And to your point, we as veterinarians need to do a really good due diligence to go to the elementary schools more to kind of inspire them. So a program like this is absolutely fantastic. Love it. And tell us more about, I understand, I'm probably saying this wrong, so correct me if I'm saying this wrong, but you can have, is it the high school students, you can nurture and build their relationships as they're going to pre-veterinary school and into vet school. Tell the listeners about that.
We do have a 3+4 program. That might be the program you're referring to. And that's an early admission accelerated program here. So students coming out of high school that are New Jersey residents, so New Jersey high school students, can apply to Rowan. And if they meet certain metrics, there's certain GPA requirements that they have to have coming in. If they elect an interest in veterinary medicine on their application here and meet all of our other criteria, we actually then invite them to apply for the early admit program. And that program, they enter into our College of Science and Math. They do 3 years in the bachelor's program there. And if they meet all of their requirements, we have requirements for a minimum GPA. We have requirements for certain experiences, right? Because we want to make sure they're well-developed, understanding what this profession means. And then they would, if they meet all those metrics, will be directly admitted into the DVM program. So they don't have to apply separately. And I think all of us know how powerful guaranteed admission to a DVM program is, right?
Yes.
So after their first year in the DVM, they end up finishing their bachelor's. And then after 3 more years, they end up also with a DVM degree. So it's a 7-year program accelerated that includes guaranteed admission for those that are successfully admitted to that.
That is fantastic. I think that's absolutely fantastic. And again, trying to create that pipeline, to your point, of future veterinarians, I think that's a fantastic way of doing it. I absolutely love it. Gosh, don't you wish they had that for us?
I don't know if I was a smart enough high school student that I would have been admitted to that program back then, but it sounds really great.
Sounds great.
These folks are way smarter than I was when I was a high school student.
And I met a couple of these students. So the listeners, by the way, there are a couple of them we've invited to the Fetch Coastal One, Atlantic City, and they are so outstanding. They really are, Matt. I know there's other ones too, but just chatting with them, you could just see the passion in their eyes to enter this profession. It's there, and their intelligence. They're just really well-rounded individuals. So I just think it's a wonderful program. I was just honored to meet just two of them. So it was great. And I know many of you are asking this on when are you expecting to have the first enrollment or graduation class? So what does that look like?
So like I mentioned earlier, we're in the final steps of getting what they call a letter of reasonable assurance from the accrediting body. So we have a visit in April, and then that accrediting body meets again in sometime in October, this coming October, and they'll deliberate over our report from our visit. And hopefully we get our letter of reasonable assurance after that meeting, which we expect should be late October or early November. Once we have that approval, we can then go and solicit applicants. So we're hoping to open applications for the program pending accreditor approval this coming fall. And we would admit our first class, which will be 70 students, about half of them New Jersey residents, half of them non-residents, to come in the fall of 2025.
Wow, it's coming up soon then. Wow.
It seems like it's a long time away, but we look at the time that we've been at this so far, it's a very short timeline.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to say that. I was like, oh my gosh, I thought it was in my head. I remember you, because knowing you for these years, but I remember you did say 2025, but it just seems so far away, and it's actually next year. So yeah.
Yeah. It comes already out. 24, Adam. We forget that.
Yes. No. They're just anniversaries when you, for your birthdays is how you celebrate them, you know? I was chatting with a couple of our colleagues around the country when I travel around at Fetch, and they know about, you know, the vet school. And if anybody is interested in potentially, I don't know if you're hiring or whatnot, but what does that look like in case any of the listeners might be curious about who you're trying to hire or recruit? You know, here's your moment.
We're hiring a lot of people. I mean, I think we have about 100 more hires to do in the next 18 months. We've been very successful with getting early preclinical faculty, I should say, on board. We're starting to hire clinicians for the teaching hospital coming up pretty soon here. But we do have all sorts of job postings, from people who are hospital administrators to people running our STEM education programs to physiologists. So basically anything you could imagine that we would need for a vet school, we have positions available for every interest. And if people go to jobs.rowan.edu, we update the postings all the time. And anyone who's interested, we welcome them applying.
Fantastic. And where can they learn more about the vet school?
Website is svm.rowan.edu, and we actually produce a monthly newsletter as well. So if you want to sign up on there, we constantly update information on that website. And if you jump on the newsletter, you get the updates even before some of the other folks get to see them.
Awesome. And my last question for you is, because we talk a lot on the podcast, Dr. Edson, about career changes within veterinary medicine, and you have an incredible story that you probably didn't expect to be in this position even 10 years ago, let's just say. So what is it like making, what went through your mind knowing that, okay, here I am as a practice owner, I'm going to be pivoting and going into this space. What was that like for you?
I was pretty happy being a practice owner. It really wasn't my life's dream to return to college after 10 years in college, right? But I think for me, you know, you have an MBA, like you like the business stuff, right? I have a very entrepreneurial mindset. And for me, I really like building things and solving problems. And this really was the ultimate opportunity to build something really cool for future generations and solve a problem that we've had for a very long time, which is no access for New Jersey residents to affordable in-state veterinary education. So it's definitely different, right? We're a state public institution coming from the private sector. There's a lot of things to adjust to with that. But just the ability to do this and make that difference for our profession has meant a tremendous amount to me. So I'm very happy that I get to be here.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone better to be the dean for our vet school in New Jersey than you. Really, I'm so proud of you. And looking forward to all the great work that Rowan's going to do. And I do want to get one final plug to the listeners out there about organized medicine. Both Matt and myself have been on the New Jersey Veterinary Medical Association. And, you know, it's one thing to complain about things in vet med, but it's another to be a part of the doing and the process. And it doesn't have to be an elected position. There could be committees. You know, what are your thoughts to the listeners out there if they want to pursue any of that?
I think my thoughts are what I tell all the new grads, right? All of us who are in an older generation are making all the decisions for you when we're on AVMA committees and state committees. This is the time for them to get involved and set the direction of the profession that they're going to be in for 30, 40 more years. I cannot understate the value of people getting involved early in organized vet med and helping to set that direction. We shouldn't be making all the decisions for the generations that are coming after us. They have to have a seat at the table as well.
Yes. Well said. Absolutely. Please look into it, my friends, because it's very rewarding, gratifying, and you get out what you put into it. So it's a really great opportunity for all of you. So Dean Edson, how does that sound?
Getting used to it.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast and congratulations again. Huge shout out to our friends at Rowan University and to your team there. And Dr. Edson, thank you for being on the show. Great job.
Thanks, Adam.
You're welcome. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast. This is a good one. This is a good one, my friends. We'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.